We beat to rap what key beat to lock, but I'm cool like that.
You're now rocking with the best. Luminary Sounds, the number one station for independent artists.
I'm cool like that.
I'm cool like that.
I'm cool.
I'm cool. Hey, that's the one right there. That's the one.
It takes me back to the independent concert series.
Right, that's why I put it right out the bag. I had to pull it right out the bag.
Pull it out the bag, brother.
It's always an exciting day, right, everybody?
It is.
Yeah, always.
Okay,
every
thank
day.
You.
Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
I'm Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Leto neighborhood.
The black one, right?
Every day.
Listen, we have the one and only Amanda Holly in the building. Music artist extraordinaire. I want to say model as well. I feel like you do. I think you do well in both categories.
Aww, I appreciate that. You know, I'm a geek. I'm a musician. I'm a singer, artist.
Right. Okay.
Songwriter. I like crystals.
You like?
Okay,
you like
yes,
crystals?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, if I gotta be a model to make the music, I will do it for those brand deals. Then brand deals.
Yeah, do what you gotta do.
I don't know.
Do.
You looked really good in that outfit on your music video.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, you did. You did your thing, and it was good to see you at the event. The Breaking Hits event.
I love how she's just recording everything. This is the moment. This is the moment right here. Let's go.
She is, man.
So I love your personality. Very bubbly, very energetic. It's great. I'm going to ask a wild question out there to get it up. Do you know who this is?
Come rain or come shine.
Okay, so you know it.
High as a mountain.
This is important.
Is that Ella?
This is Sarah Vaughan.
Sarah Vaughan. Oh, yes. Sarah Vaughan. Very close.
So, yes. So the story of Sarah Vaughan. Can you tell the story of Sarah Vaughan and why that's so important?
Okay, so I'm sorry, Aunt Sassy. that was a very, actually, they were all very close friends.
Okay.
But my dad actually wrote music for Sarah Vaughan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Interesting.
He wrote a song called I Need You More Than Ever Now, which was pretty heavy for me because I only met my dad a few times.
Oh, wow.
And when we reunited, he was on his deathbed.
Whoa. When you reunited with your father?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even meet him until like elementary school, and then I saw him a few times, and then on his deathbed, I sang him that song.
Wow.
And
man.
He sat up and smiled like
really? He sat up and smiled when he heard the song?
Yeah. So
that's beautiful.
It was like a pretty and he's not here, but
that's an intense moment.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a pretty incredible thing. His name is on the records, Gregory Clark Holly. And he never got his royalties. Being a black songwriter and artist back in the day was like in the 70s, 80s. Was a really crazy time. A lot of musicians didn't get all their props,
right.
You know. And I love Sarah. She's a quintessential
absolutely
vocalist, but I did get confused because I know Ella's version too. So
yeah, yes.
I was
yes,
like, and
yes.
I think maybe they influenced each other a little bit. Yes, you yes, know,
so. Probably.
Now we share something in common. You're East Coast, born and bred, just like myself. Except you're tri-state. I'm New England. Which
oh,
is
go,
cool. Yeah,
go.
So Newark, New Jersey. And yes. Then you talked a little bit about your family, which is really, really cool. And I want to get into, you also play instruments.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool because you don't see many artists that dabble into that side. Talk to us about some of the instruments you play and how that even happened.
Yeah. Wow, y'all have some deep questions. And
we
tell
just
me
came
if I'm
out
going
hard.
Too deep. Tell me if I'm going too deep.
No,
no there's
fine.
No such thing
whatever
as too deep. This is your
with.
Moment.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Wow. So, God, music started for me before I could even speak. I know for a fact. My mom was a concert cellist, and she went to Manhattan School of Music. She was one of 4 out of 5,000 applicants, and she had a full scholarship.
Wow.
And
impressive.
My dad was the singer-songwriter, soul. He loved soul, and he loved string lines. So that's, I guess, how they fell in love. My mom being this little Italian lady, my dad being African-American, you know, and loving that music, loving the strings, loving
sure.
the soul.
That's what
it was
I'm
like,
talking about.
You know, a match made in heaven in that way.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of stuff they went through, but the music brought them together. Mm-hmm. And as a baby, my mom said that she wanted me to have perfect pitch, because she's like, I only have relative pitch, so I want you to have, I wanted you to have perfect pitch. So she's like, I ear trained you when you was in the womb.
Oh wow. She's all, this is gonna happen. Yeah. This is happening.
Man. And my mama can sing. Like, so like my dad sings, my mom sings, and my dad's sister went to Juilliard, discovered Stephanie Mills, wrote for her, got her in the Wiz, co-managed her.
It's big.
Arranged for the first big black opera star, Shirley Barrett, which I didn't even know about my auntie until I met her. So I met my dad, and then I met, my auntie. So that's, it was impressive. Like a real, like, whoa.
Okay. Musical family.
That's a mind trip.
So my mom didn't have, we didn't have money. We didn't have much. We had music. And my mom didn't have the money to put me in with a sitter when she was in rehearsals for different shows and stuff. She played in a lot of orchestra pits. That's how she made her bread. So for me, it was like everybody else around me had their instruments out, you know.
Yeah.
They had their celli and their bass and everything. And I'm like, where's my violin? I need mine. You know. And I was already singing.
Yeah, I'm
like,
here.
I was like two, and I knew I had to know all the melodies. I practiced, you know. And so I got my first violin at 2 and a half, and then ended up with Suzuki teachers that would like train preschoolers basically how to play, and I never stopped playing since. And then piano I picked up a little bit after, maybe like five.
So you play a few instruments.
The first song I ever wrote, and it's a little dramatic, but I'll tell the story.
Let's go. I'm here for the drama.
Dramatic. It's not, it's just funny. I told my mom when I was like four that I heard angel voices in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's like, oh, you're like your dad. You're a composer. And I'm like, what's a composer? And she goes, oh, like Mozart. And I go, oh, well, I know Mozart. Oh, I like Mozart. Okay. And
this is interesting.
That was the first the first experience of songwriting. Mm. So piano, voice, then violin, then piano, and the writing thing.
You have some beautiful actual shots of you playing on Instagram.
You play well. See, for me, I grew up around such phenomenal musicians that I almost like never wanted to let anyone see me play the piano.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's like shy about it.
Man.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Not at all. Okay, so you said you've been singing since before you could talk.
My cousin sent me a video of that. Actually, it was pretty funny.
Did you post that?
No, I did not. I should.
Yes,
pretty funny.
Us fans want to see that.
It was pretty funny.
Absolutely.
And I had the same faces, y'all. Like the same performance.
Nothing's changed.
Like literally, like.
It was meant to be. You knew what you were supposed to be
like,
from a young age.
Okay, that's funny.
Well, I mean, you have so many things underneath your belt. You taught yourself instruments. You did something as a teen. Oh, you were published by the Columbia Press as a teen.
Yeah, that
right?
was like a teacher decided to submit my poetry for a festival that it was for teenagers, but they actually would publish your poetry and prose. And I didn't want to submit mine.
Another time.
Here it is again.
Yep. Oh
wow.
My gosh.
I thought that my work was not good enough because it wasn't as good as like Shakespeare. That's what my...
Wait a second.
You're comparing yourself to Shakespeare?
I was that weird kid in like the fourth grade that would like sit in the library because...
That's funny.
I had a lot of strife.
Okay.
From age zero, and that was my escape place, would be like rehearsals, any kind of musical ensemble, any kind of theatrical thing, or writing or reading. So
the arts.
Yeah, that was my
the
thing.
Art.
That's interesting.
Well, I know that you're up for a Grammy consideration, right?
Yeah.
With one of your songs,
Ride
or Die.
That was another one.
That was my next question. Yeah. What did you do? Did you not want that one to go up either?
You know what? Well, of course, I'm very, very thankful to be on the ballot.
It's awesome.
It's a pretty cool feeling, because with the way I am, it's like, to me, it's even crazy to even be in Cali.
Yeah.
Like, to even have survived certain things. Like,
okay.
And then I look back and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You made
really
it.
Fortunate.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Very blessed and thankful. So that was really exciting. I was not expecting that. So that was kind of funny. Yeah.
Well, speaking of surviving, what would you say is the most difficult part about being an artist that you want your friends and families to recognize, to kind of appreciate what you do?
I don't know, not for me, but for other artists, I think that no one really understands when it comes to like the long haul and wanting to build a legacy, but like not for oneself, but for human race, like for the, for people. And
yeah.
To be a part of that elevation of our consciousness,
yeah.
Like it is not 1, 2, 3. And you have you have a lot of heartbreak and a lot of pain.
Ups and downs.
And a lot of walking away from stuff and a lot of disappointment and the stamina that it takes, you know. But this is more for, like, my fellow artists and, like, people that are that may be tuning in that are not sure if they can do it, you know, because maybe, I mean, I grew up with nothing. And I'm an abuse survivor. Of every kind of abuse you could think of. I was literally brought into the world in an abusive way. So for me to even be at this point without giving in, like, sometimes I don't even know how I'm here.
Amazing. Wow.
That's already successful.
Amazing.
And it's, but when you feel how your song can affect a person who needs it, that's the thing. That's like, whoa.
That's your gift that you're giving to the world.
And it makes everything. It makes, like, everything. Like, I'll think back and I'm like, if I'd have had a typical life, like, I wouldn't have been able to write about this. Or maybe maybe there wouldn't be such a guttural, like, instinct with music.
Have you ever had to force a song out that you felt like, it's time to write a song, it's been a while, I need to go in here and just
knock it out?
Interesting question. Now, I've never had a situation where I've had to force the song out. I've only had a situation where I have been given a song that was so against
who you believe
I am
in?
As a soul. And I had to, I felt like either I'd be like a lion in a cage, like, really, or it would make me sick. Like, physically, like, my stomach will get, like, sick.
Physically sick.
That's not good.
And then I would have to, like, gas myself up. And then finally, I'd be like,
I want to hear this song, though.
That sounds you segued
into the next question I actually have for you. So, your debut single, Fiendin', it didn't just get some airplay, it charted number one on internet radio. What did that feel like?
Oh,
it's your
yeah.
first single, and it's just like a success. Talk to me about that.
That's so crazy that you say that. Thanks for the wow.
Oh, no problem.
You know yourself. That was a crazy minute for me because I was questioning if I should cut the record over again.
Okay.
Wow.
Because for me, I really was at that point making my transition to, like, okay, I'm going to make radio ready stuff. And that actually came out on a label at Warner Brothers.
Right.
That record.
Okay.
And it was just a complete whirlwind. Really exciting because there'd be, like, people on the bus, like, uptown, like, and I'd have, like, friends, like, send us, like, Ralph remembers, like, a friend, like, sent us, like, a thing of somebody singing the song on the bus uptown. It was, like, hilarious.
Just random person on the on the bus.
It was awesome. Crazy.
Changing lives.
I can only imagine.
That's awesome.
It was crazy. Really exciting. And we did, like, we would do, like, 3 shows in a night, like, for months and months and months, over a year of maybe 80 shows we did.
That's
that
a
year.
Lot.
It was crazy. Not all full length, because my shows will run from, like, some of them will be like 10 minutes if it's a pop up. I don't think I've ever done a 10-minute show, actually, honestly. But I did Empire Rooftop in Midtown. I did 10 minutes.
Okay.
For all the DJs.
And then they wanted more, I'm sure.
It was all the DJ pools. Yes. So then that was the only one that was 10 minutes.
That sounds like fun.
Okay. Yeah. So we premiered the single at Highline Ballroom. I performed that night. And we have that.
The legendary High. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the release night.
Wow.
Because people had already knew my voice around the city.
Are you, like, writing all these stories down, like, in a journal somewhere?
Yeah. You got to write a book.
Yeah. A time capsule
or
something.
Is the Highline Ballroom
but
still
most
there?
Most of my shows go, like, for, like, an hour. But
I've been away from the East Coast for a while, so is the Highline Ballroom still there?
Yeah, I think it's still there.
Wow. That's very cool.
You've played at venues such as Carnegie Hall, Birdland, the United Nations, both New York and LA Fashion Week. What do you think has been your favorite venue?
Oof.
And what is your dream venue? I came with the question.
It's a tough question. Okay. And every single venue came about in a crazy way, y'all. It was amazing.
It was meant to be.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. God, they're all amazing. Opening for New York Fashion Week and LA Fashion Week 5 seasons in a row was pretty incredible because you had that electricity and I would put on a 20-minute set. Mm-hmm. Usually every time I had dancers and my DJ and sometimes a keyboardist, sometimes there'd be strings, whatever, and just get that hype going, and people just wanted to they wanted to fly off that night. Every night was just so exciting. Carnegie though, the way that came about was,
man,
the story to that alone will keep us here all day. But
that's like Webster Hall.
I could try to abbreviate it.
Wow.
Yes, we want to know.
Now, I was in the recital hall.
But you were still there.
I played my own song on the Steinway.
Exactly.
There was a Steinway in my dressing room.
Man.
Steinway piano, for those listening that are not music enthusiasts, is the best.
Oh, yeah. Best of the best.
So it's in my dressing room and on stage.
Did you play it?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm sure.
She had to.
But the way that came about was so kismet. It was definitely divine. But that the feeling of that was crazy, because when I was a little girl, my mom, no one in my family has played there. And even that night, so the musical director, Hyman McKinley, was the musical director for Earth, Wind, and Fire. Mm-hmm. The event was produced by a French monk, friend of mine, who...
A fresh
who has a book with Deepak Chopra. Okay. Actually, we're appearing at the Saban Theater on Monday.
Oh, nice.
Doing an event for Marianne Williamson.
Okay.
So very I'm just cool. going to do plug. A little
yes. Yes.
Do a little plug.
Yes.
Let's go.
Jam session. That's a nice place, too.
It's actually free. It's a free event for anyone. It's a spiritual event, though. It's not my music. I'm singing Michelle's music. So it was Myron's first time at Carnegie Hall as well, and he's the musical director for Earth, Wind, and Fire. And Stacey Lamont Senior on the drums, who toured with the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And it was his first time at Carnegie. So that was an incredible, I don't really know. Wow. Goodness. Okay. You guys could be like, girl, Holly.
Keep going. I love this.
No, I think those two must. Birdland was nuts though too. Cause as a little girl, I listened to Lullaby of Birdland and I'd be like, ooh, what is this place, you know? I played, I actually performed my own music. And then I also sang God Bless the Child, which is my favorite Billie Holiday.
Oh, okay.
And Onaje Allen-Gumbs, who's a world-renowned jazz pianist who's no longer with us. I love you, Onaje. He was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
He was so sweet to me, even though I can't play like him.
He saw something in you, that's why.
Yeah. He was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
That night was really special.
So. Man.
It sounds like they're all tied for number one.
They're all, yeah. I even like little venues. I like smaller venues, and they're not little because they're great venues. Mm-hmm. But Joe's Pub, New York. Mm-hmm. I played the W Hollywood here. That was so much fun. I just had my little keyboard, mm-hmm. and did a 30-minute set with my keyboard.
That's a nice place too, as well.
So talented,
and then
with just your keyboard,
yeah. And then did an acapella and got off because I was excited. So I just ran out and started singing everybody with just the mic. I'm like, this is really bizarre.
You were in your element.
Yeah, yeah. And you got it. You have to enjoy it. I mean, I definitely have a question. You, Mariah Carey, Denise Williams, Minnie Riperton, you guys have this octave range going on. Explain to me, where do you think it came from? Because not every singer has an octave 4, octave 5 range, and how often do you use it in your songs? Do you feel like it's a killer move, I gotta go to it? Where does that come from?
Oh, man. I think a lot of it was probably through my family, but I didn't know that I had access to all of that until maybe the fourth grade when I met my auntie.
Mm-hmm.
And my auntie was okay, first day I met her, I go to her place. Now, remember, she went to Juilliard.
She was your mentor and coach.
Yeah, I found out, I thought I was the only composer in my, you know, because I had my mom's and that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And I knock on her door at 72nd Street and I'm like, I'm Amanda and I'm a singer. And she brings me in. First thing we did was go to the piano.
Oh, man.
I sang her this song that I wanted to sing for my dad called Where Is Love, which is this like theater song that I learned from sitting in the pit with my mom playing. And it's a really sad song, actually. But she starts crying. I start crying. Then she starts playing me all the music that she wrote. And my mind was like exploding.
Okay. Did you say this was the first time you met her?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
So it was like, it was crazy. It was like not even, I kid you, no exaggeration.
Man.
5 minutes. And then the crazy part, too, is like then she calls her friend, who, Uncle Dennis, Dennis Doc Williams. He happens to be the musical director of the OJs for 40 years.
Doc.
And, okay, so insane. You know Doc.
Yes.
Okay, so you could be like, oh, Amanda Holly was at the station.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's known me since then. And
oh, wow.
He eventually became my musical director. And now he's my musical supervisor. But he's family.
That's awesome.
He looks at me, gets this one, she's trouble. He's like, little pop star. Like, and I'm like, what's
so,
that?
So is that where... you were dubbed America's Soulful Sweetheart.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. So one of my producers, Charlie Waller, he produced O.C. Smith and George Benson.
George Benson.
Love George.
Wow. He came up with that.
Wow. Oh, nice.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Guys, something I definitely got to ask you about that I think is so cool. There were so many cool things I came across.
Just to finish this, I'm
ahead.
So sorry because I'm long-winded. Like, y'all, just be like, Holly, like,
it's cool.
I can't speak. Like, I can only write and sing. Like, I cannot talk. Like, I can't have a conversation because I was.
You're doing pretty good.
You're doing wonderful.
Yeah.
I love all these stories.
It's too much. So the octave thing, my auntie, she was like, she's showing me this stuff and all the jumping and everything. And I was like, well, I don't know. I need to be able to do that because I need to sing that song that you wrote.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to sing that when I grow up. And the song was called I Know the Passion. And she originally wrote the lyrics for the Stephanie Mills song, The Passion and the Pain. She divorced it and made it her own for her R&B musical that is being passed on to me, actually.
Cool. Wow.
And so she's like, oh, no, honey, you have the octaves. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh.
And so she just did these exercises with me in like 5
that
minutes
That must have
later,
felt good.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
So it was like easy
now,
for you.
Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Is it natural still?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't really think, and I play the violin, too. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just hear things that way. But I don't like it as a showboat. Situation.
Right.
I just think like I let the music come through me and the performance come through me, and whatever it gives is what it gives.
The music was coming through you when you were belting out Amel LaRue over here. Tell me.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, wait, hold on, is she here?
Yeah, man. So cool story. Just from reading about you, there's a autograph record you have.
Yeah.
From another soulful. Yes, from another soulful singer.
Well,
tell us about that story.
How'd you get that?
Oh, my gosh. I got to meet Aretha Franklin not once, not twice, but 3 times.
Wow.
I got to hang with her.
She's my favorite.
3 times. There is an agent. So, oh, my gosh. You guys, the stories even of how, like, I can't even explain to you, but
yeah.
I'm going to try. So there was a manager that brought Phil Ramone in to be my co-manager.
Okay.
Phil Ramone was a 14-time Grammy-winning producer.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just before Phil... he was the one that told me, like, what are you doing? You're a pop star. Like, what are you doing? And I had PTSD, OCD, dysmorphia, like, as a teen, everything, because I was extremely abused. And I was like, well, I don't want people to see me on camera. I don't want people to see me. I just want to be on the stage, you know, do theater stuff and jazz and write music, but like it's soul music. It's not pop music.
Yeah.
And like leave me alone, you know. And he wanted to just integrate me. So we have this thing and this agent hears about me and he happened to be Aretha Franklin and Barbara Streisand's agent.
Wow.
And he happened to like my music. And
Aretha Franklin, Barbara Streisand.
So he was like, let's have Amanda come see Aretha in Brooklyn. And not only did I get to see her concert, but I got to stand in the wings of the stage for the whole hour-long concert. So my whole... And you could trust, I had my curls out that day. Which
you was ready.
Which was like the first time, I think, because ever since I learned to straighten it, I stopped wearing it curly. And I was like, I can't go in there like this with Aretha, because Aretha was like the thing.
Yo, I'm dying.
I gotta be real, you know? I gotta be real with Miss Franklin, because she was the one that CD was the one I would listen to at like 10 years old, like just to get through the day. Like,
she's gonna come there, girl, why are your hair looking like this?
Yeah, why you got your hair like this? What's wrong with you? You know, and I had my cute shoes on and everything. I was like, I need to be ready because she is the queen. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is the queen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You're right.
She is. And so I got to stand in the wings for that whole show. And I had my little CD just in case, but I was like, and they're like, you're going to meet her. I'm like, what? She said, she'll meet you. She'll meet you. I'm like, what? You know, and so standing by the trailer with my little CD and out comes Miss Franklin. And I just was like, thank you for giving the world soul and R&B.
Yeah.
And everything that you are, and for like helping us all get through this horrible world.
Yeah.
Like, and she was like, God's got you. And she signed it for me right then and there. And then every time I would see her, she would give me a little tidbit of advice. She's like, you're on the right track. You're going to get there, baby.
What was her presence like? Like, what was it like to be in front of her?
Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
What was the energy?
Mm-hmm. I don't get nervous, y'all. Like, I've been around a lot of people, but I did not get nervous around anybody, really, but her.
She's the only one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, not in a nervous way, but like I wanted to respect her, and I never took a picture with her, which I'm kicking myself. But I never took a picture with her because I didn't want to come off like a super fan. I was like, well, she's gonna be my auntie, and we're gonna have tea.
yeah.
We'll do that later. Time I'm gonna meet
oh
her.
Man,
I like your approach, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the second time was backstage. A friend had a show on Broadway, invited me to come see it, and then I got to hang backstage with her there. And then, and she complimented my shoes, and she loved my hair. And
there
then,
you go.
And then there was another time, actually at the Songwriters Gala in New York.
There you go. Yep.
Phil was running it that year, and she waved at me like.
I think they still have it.
She did, and then the whole room was looking at me like.
And who's this girl?
Who's that?
I believe they still have the Songwriters Gala in New York.
Do.
They still do. Yeah.
Oh my, I don't know who runs it now, but Phil is no longer here. So.
Yeah.
What
rest,
a moment.
Rest in power.
So you have so many incredible stories. What's next for you? You know, what do you want? What do you want to go after?
World domination. No.
There you go. Why stop there?
Or like, are you a planner? Are you planning like 5 down years the road? Or are you kind of like, whatever happens, whatever falls in my lap?
No, I'm
what
not
is
a
it?
Whatever happens at all. I'm like a planner, but not, okay. Not in a way where I'm like rigid and like, I gotta make, but I'm a planner in the sense of like, I've always known like from age zero. So now this like, it's getting really crazy, y'all, because like, there's times when things will happen in the real, like now, and I'll be like, oh, this was the thing I imagined.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, my plan is to just reach as many people as I humanly, as humanly possible, worldwide and in all the universes, and create music that'll last long after I'm not here, even though I'm going to be here for like 300 years.
That's right.
And be touring every day. And then y'all are going to have to like, I'll be like coming out the grave, like.
You definitely you have a lot of people listening to you right now. I've seen the comments coming through. I'm gonna be tuning in, so a lot of people definitely support you, and I'm very happy for that. And we're actually gonna play one of your songs right now. This is Ride or Die with Amanda Holly. Get ready.
Yes, UNITY.
Let's go.
We are back with Amanda Holly.
Hey.
Man, we're so happy to have you. We're having so such happy. A great time.
Amazing time, man.
And, you know, sure. Before we get out of here, Amanda, let everybody know what you got going on, how they can get a hold of you, and all that good stuff.
First off, thank you all so much for having me. Such a beautiful time. Such great vibes here.
Yeah.
And I so appreciate it. And I love y'all.
Oh, we love you.
Love you too, man.
So happy we met you.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are the coolest. I mean, so am I. So it's
It was a match. It kind of worked out that
way. You know, it's just the way it is. But thank you for the vibes. Yeah, so listeners, thank you all for tuning in. Absolutely. I love you. I do this for music and for you. And yeah, follow me at Listen to Amanda on IG, and I'll try to be better about TikTok. I'm at Amanda Holly Music. And we have records dropping. Like I'm pretty excited. A slew of records dropping, new ones dropping starting a couple of weeks from now.
All right.
Shows coming up that we're planning. I just headlined for Major Stage in New York, and then we're just planning the shows for
any LA shows.
We're planning all the LA shows now.
Great.
And I am doing a pop up on Monday, which will all be on my IG, an event at the Saban Theater for Marianne Williamson, produced by Michelle Pascal. But as far as Amanda Holly shows, those are coming. So just follow, stay tuned.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
and we're definitely keeping our fingers crossed for that ballot that you are on for the Grammy nomination as well. For
Ride or Die.
That'd be amazing.
I am extremely thankful to even be at the... Thank you, Francois. I'm extremely thankful to even be in the running for Ride or Die on the Grammy ballot this year for Best R&B Performance and Best R&B Song.
That's right.
I'm happy.
Completely in shock and very thankful. Thanks, guys. And I have a lot planned for next year, and we'll be making a lot of love and music waves.
That's right.
Can't wait.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and we're just glad you came, and we definitely got to have you back.
Yeah. So whenever you have music, obviously this is a filter. Just send us your stuff, and you have a home here. Whatever you have, just come. Absolutely. You know it's going to be played here. No problems at all. We are signing out. It's been a great day. This is Junior Leto.
It's Francois the Great.
And Missy Talks.
We out. Bye.